Father, I just thank you that there is no one like you in all the earth. And for your people this morning, Lord God, may they recognize, Lord, that there is no one like you. That there is no one like you. I just pray, Lord God, that burdens be lifted in the mighty name of Jesus. The things that people are carrying in their lives, let the burdens be lifted in Jesus' mighty name. That you, Lord God, let the burdens be lifted. Let the burdens, you do not impose, Lord God, any burdens upon us. Father, I thank you that you would lift burdens off people's lives right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord, Father, the things that people are carrying that they're not meant to carry, may they drop them, Lord God, at your feet this morning. May they drop them at your feet. The backpacks, the disappointments, the frustrations, the wanderings of lost times, Lord God. Father, may we leave those burdens at your feet this morning. I thank you that your word says, in that day, the burden shall be lifted off the shoulders of your people, Lord God. And it says even, Lord God, that the yoke that is upon your neck, Father, upon their necks, Father, would be lifted off, and the yoke will be broken by the anointing. And we pray the anointing of Jesus Christ will break off all yokes, Lord God, and will lift all burdens off your people this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. So, Father, I thank you that you are the one that lifts burdens off our lives. Amen. And everyone says, as I get started, I just want to, last week we had Mr. Sloan Simpson from World Vision. But of course, first of all, welcome to everybody, to our church, to C3 Fremantle, a place to be planted. A place to belong, and then a place to become what God has purposed for your life. You know, Sloan's message about going deeper with the Lord, he was saying that we should resist the comfort and beauty of the shallows and embrace the wonder that exists beyond in the deep. And he says two things. You know, he said, learn to give the gift of attention. When you're speaking to somebody, give them the gift of attention. Focus on them. And then, of course, give and receive the gift of accompaniment, that whatever you go through, the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. That just sometimes gather around people without having to say much. Just gather around people. Father, I thank you for the invitation to go deeper. How many of you are woken up in the middle of the night? You just wake up in the middle of the night and you wonder, oh, why am I awake? If that's you, just raise your hand. Can I strongly encourage you that depending on the time, you see, there are watches of the night. If we look at the way in the Bible, there were 8 prayer watches. And one of the, obviously, it's the day that's broken up into 3-hour slots. And so there's obviously a... It starts off, there's 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and then of course 4 to 6. Now, please hear me. Between 9 and 12, this is the moment where you're praying for breakthrough in your life, because there's ample evidence in the scripture where when people prayed at that time, breakthrough came. We know that at midnight, that was when Paul and, what's his name? Silas were praying in the jail, and the jail was shaken. And obviously, you know, they were let free. There was a time, of course, when Peter was in prison and the church was what? Praying. And guess what happened to him? An angel came and woke him up, and he walked out And it's only when he came out that he realized that, he thought it was a dream, but it was actually what? He was out of jail. Then there's a prayer watch that goes from midnight to 3 a.m. This is the one for intercession. Now I need you to note the times when you wake up. There's another one that then goes from 4 to 6. So sometimes when you wake up, it's not just, maybe it's the Lord. Maybe you've just woken up because you've run out of sleep. Dare I suggest that at times, the Lord, the way he works is that it's an invitation for you. It is an invitation for you to begin to intercede. Because one of the ways that we have to understand the Lord is that God, actually, is that we have to understand God as our Father. So our Father who art in heaven. So we understand him as our Father. And you have to get this right, because this underpins everything that you do in your life. If you don't understand him as your Father, or you have difficulty, it's going to be very hard for you to go to him, because you're going to be doubting, oh my goodness, is he really going to come through for me? You have to understand him as your Father. Then you have to understand him as a friend. A friend, remember the scripture that says that somebody was visited at nighttime and he went to another friend and said, hey, could you please give me some bread of a visitor that has come? And the guy said, no. But he kept on insisting. This is when you are interceding. You know him as a friend. You are interceding on behalf of somebody else. So when sometimes you are woken up, it is time for you to what? Intercede, to pray on behalf of somebody else. So there's breakthrough, then there is intercession. This is what we have to be mindful of, that God is calling us. There is an invitation that is happening. There are times where maybe I might wake up and then I'd be like, oh, it's a bit too cold. Like winter time, it's a bit cold. And then especially if you've got the electric blanket on, you feel the difference when you get up and then you say, look, I'll just pray in the electric blanket. But then you find that you wake up 4 hours later. You only prayed for probably 5 minutes. It's an invitation. We did say that when the Lord comes into our lives, he knocks. And it's a gentle knock. And so that's my strong encouragement for you this morning, that whenever that happens to you, just linger and say, and begin to pray in the Spirit. The length doesn't really matter. But you're just sort of like, say, hey, Lord, I'm going to be a bit obedient to you. And I'll tell you what will happen is that the more you do it, the more the knock will come. The invitation to come on, hey, I need you to get up. I need you to intercede. At times, you will not know what you're praying for or who you are praying about. But guess what? That doesn't matter. The Lord does. And that's very, very important. That's why none of us here can ever claim that I am where I am today because of me. No, it is because of somewhere else. Because God is gracious enough to get other people to intercede that you don't know, that have been praying for you. Amen. Thank you. The famous words of William Booth, well, one of the famous words of William Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army. And he says this, you know, I think he was saying to his son, is that the tendency of fire is to go out. And then he says, watch the fire on the altar of your heart. Anyone who has tended a fireplace knows that it needs to be stirred up occasionally. The challenge for you and I is that the fire, it makes sense. The tendency of fire is to do what? Is to go out. If it is neglected, it will what? It will go out. So that means that we have a responsibility to occasionally stir that fire in our lives. There will be seasons that we will experience, you know, we're on fire and then we're not on fire. But we just need to occasionally. And one of the ways that we do that is constantly by prayer. You remember the time when the disciples, and we spoke about this at the beginning of the year, when all of a sudden things were happening in the church and it was growing, and then there was contention between the widows. They were complaining that others are getting more than us. And the disciples, the apostles said this. They said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the word. That is the most important thing. So as we, to keep the fire burning, we have to be those that devote ourselves to prayer and to the what? The word of God. We heard from Mr. Sloan last week when he said that Martha and Mary, Jesus came to visit them. Martha was doing all the hard work. And sometimes we used to give Martha a hard time. Oh, come on, Martha, what are you doing? Be like Mary. No, both are correct. But he said that Mary was doing the what? The main thing. Which means whilst we have to do everything we have to do, let us not forget the what? The main thing in our lives. Amen. In Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, when you pray, and this is what we've been talking about, is that not if you pray, when you pray. And Jesus begins to outline, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Can I get some water, Mr. Shresh? Cheers. Thank you. And so he goes on to say, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. What he's asking us is that the posture and the motivation of our prayer should not be that we are seen. That's the key thing that he's saying. He says, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. We then spoke about 2 weeks ago, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. We learned that prayer is not just an event, it is a lifestyle. Jesus called us into private prayer, into personal prayer, and into powerful prayer. And so this week we're going to continue through the life of King Hezekiah, a man whose reign was marked by obedience, courage, and prayer. And so the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, it says, in the third year of Hoshea, Hezekiah began to reign, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what it basically says is that it says he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 29 years. What I want to say is that there is a timestamp. The Bible is very specific about times. If you read the book of Exodus, of Kings, it will tell you this king reigned for 12 years or 15 years. So all of us, there is a time. Let us not forget that there is a timestamp that we have to make sure that we maximize the time that we have been given. Amen. Hezekiah, as we read, as we're going to read, did not just sit on the throne. It said he reigned well. In the same way, our reign begins, of course, when we are born. But the reign of where we have a specific purpose begins when we give our lives to Jesus. We are also called to do what? To reign. And this aligns with God's original intention of us being fruitful, multiplying, having dominion, and to govern under his authority. God expects you and I to reign differently. You see, unlike King Ahaz and others, when you read the book of 2 Kings, they compromised. And this is what the word would say. It said they did evil in the sight of the what? The Lord. Like their what? Like their fathers. Which tells us that we don't want to be those that when we reign, it said they did evil in the sight of the Lord, just like his father Stephen. So there is an expectation that when we do life, we are going to do things differently. Just like we heard, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David had done. Now, when I read that, I said to myself, oh, David was not necessarily a clean man. He had some what? He had some issues. But that verse basically stated that he did right like his father David had done. So So that means it makes me see that we are not talking about perfection here. It's not the Lord wanting us to be super perfect. Now, of course, we've got to live holy lives, lives that are not full of compromise. But it's not perfection that he was looking for here. Because we know that David had done some, you know, weird stuff. So I wonder, what will be said about your reign? Your reign over your home. Your reign over your habits. Your reign over your calling. And will it be said of you what was said of Hezekiah? That he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like his father David had done. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, it says, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed. So now begin to see how he reigned. He says, he removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the people of Israel had made offerings to it. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. So he removed the high places. He trusted in the Lord. And then he says, he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went out, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. Hezekiah did the following. He removed the high places, the idols, the wrong altars. You cannot reign, and you cannot have a great prayer life while entertaining certain things that God has asked you to remove. Some of the things that occur in your life must come down for you to have an effectual or effective prayer life. Compromise. When we compromise in our lives, we know, we all know the things that the Lord says, do this, don't do this, but somehow, you know, we try to just twist things in our own what? In our own favor. Bitterness. We have bitterness in our lives. And so what happens, you see, when it comes to unforgiveness, can you grow in the Lord when there's unforgiveness in your life? Maybe let's just say yes. And the reason I say it is that, remember the scripture that talks about, forgive us as we forgive. So that means that the level of forgiveness you will receive and appreciate and walk through in your life is based on how much forgiveness you do. So what we're talking about is to experience the fullness of God. If there's unforgiveness you're harboring, you are not really going to experience the fullness of God. And therefore, it places a what? A limit on your growth. There is a limit that comes on your growth. Fear. There are certain things that must come down that you have to remove. Unhealthy patterns that have to come down in your life. Hezekiah, he trusted the Lord. His confidence was in God. It wasn't in the alliances that he made. It wasn't in the culture that he lived in. It was not the systems that they had created. You have to trust in the Lord, because that means that when you approach him, you have to believe that God is able to do the things that you're asking him to do. Otherwise, what's the point? Who would approach a bank asking for a loan when you know the bank has got no money? Would you have much confidence in that bank? No, so you wouldn't even go there. So guess what? You're going to go to Commonwealth Bank. You're going to go to National Australia Bank, possibly ANZ. You're going to go to a credit union. Why? Because you believe that they are able to help you. Because otherwise, why go there? In similar vein, if you don't believe that God can help you, well, you're in a lot of trouble. So you, to reign well, to have an effectual prayer life, you must trust, must be in the what? In the Lord. Hezekiah did not depart. He stayed consistent. You know, any one of us can start strong. We can win 1 year. But people that reign and reign well must remain faithful. So we can't just be trusting in the Lord here and there and then carrying on and doing our own. We have to be consistent and we have to remain faithful. Remember what this Mr. William Booth said. The tendency of fire is to do what? Is to go out. So our relationship with the Lord is cultivated. Just like for those that have got gardens, they cultivate their garden, taking out the weeds. You have to do a bit of cultivation for you to sustain the many years in the Lord. The other thing that Hezekiah did is that he rebelled against the king of Assyria. He refused to remain under godly domination. His confidence was in God. Some of us, we have issues of fear that we need to rebel against. We have shame that we carry in our lives. We have addictions, these quiet things that we do in our lives that we have to do it. We have to rebel against that. And limiting cycles, the thought patterns that we have in our lives that limit us. And so we have to break through that. And he struck down. He advanced and he took ground. We have to advance, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of our children. God does not call us just to merely survive, but he calls us to be what? Overcomers. So, what kind of reign are you building? This thing about reigning all of us, we've been honing in over the last 3 years about God has called each and every one of us to be ambassadors, to represent him. There is an expectation that the Lord has on each and every one of our lives, that we are fruitful, that we multiply, that we obviously don't stay the what? Don't stay the same. Remember the father of the boy who brought his son to the disciples. Why would he bring his son to the disciples? There was an expectation that he was going to do what? Heal. So this is what it says in Mark 9. It says that he goes on, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So this is a boy that had a spirit over his life. Listen to this. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. There was an expectation. There is an expectation that in your reign, in your lifetime, that people will have expectations on Christians that, hey, you know, we're going to come to you and we're going to ask for healing. They expect certain things. The Lord expects. And the reason why we know the Lord expects is because now Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Then he says, bring him to me. Then they brought him to him and said, when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed and he fell on the ground. And then Jesus goes on to a story to investigate. Ultimately, we know that the boy was healed. There is an expectation. One of the ways that we're going to do things in our lives is that we need to know the Lord. And we need to be prayerful because there will be an expectation for a return on the investment of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Amen. In 2 Kings 18, verse 13, it says, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. And whatever you impose on me, I will bear. Because the king had obviously, this Assyrian king had come and said, okay, I'm going to take charge of all of this. And so the reason why earlier I made sure that when he spoke, when the scripture said that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David, the reason why we know that God is not looking for perfection, but he's looking for people that have a bent towards him, that look to him. Because here, now that the king has come, attack has come, he compromises and he says, look, I will pay the tribute that is required. And so he did that, which obviously was a little bit of a compromise. And so what happens when you make the decision to say, hey, I am going to be a bit prayerful, I am going to do this and that? Opposition is going to come your way. Hezekiah was winning all this time. He was winning and taking ground over the Philistines. You have made a decision. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be more prayerful. I am going to stand up and all that. And then the devil notices you. And then he comes and he lays a siege on you. I wonder, are you able to withstand the siege? Everything was going well for the first 13 years. And then it says that in the 14th year, the king of Assyria came. Are you able to withstand the siege? Because what happens, you see, is that the enemy will come to cause us to compromise. This is why the devil, when he came to Adam or to Eve, and then he says, did the Lord really say? Because what he wanted was them to compromise. And so the enemy will use intimidation to try and shut you down. So there are times where perhaps you, all of a sudden, you start praying. You're praying hard before you go to sleep at night. And then all of a sudden, you have nightmares. And you think, oh my goodness, I was sleeping well before I started praying, before I went to sleep. So guess what I will do? I will stop praying so that I stop having the nightmares. This is what the enemy does in our lives. He will use intimidation to stop us. And one of the ways he does that is that he begins to speak to us. Because if you hear in verse, one of the things in 2 Kings 18, and I encourage you to just go and read it after the service or during the week. One of them said, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Now they're speaking to Hezekiah. Why are you trusting the Lord? Do you think that mere words and strategy are power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? So this is what the enemy does in our lives. He then begins to speak, because guess what he wants us to do? Is to fold and to hold back and to not trust in what? In the Lord. They go on to say, do not let Hezekiah, these are the enemies that are speaking. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. And then he goes on to explain, where are the gods of all these people that I've destroyed? I have laid bare, I destroyed your father, I destroyed your grandfather, I destroyed your great-grandfather. So how dare you want to stand up against me? This is what the enemy begins to bring in our lives, this intimidation. But this is what Hezekiah had said to the people that went. He says, but the people were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. Whenever the enemy attacks us in our minds, in our thoughts, whenever we get the bad report, the goal is to shift our trust in the Lord. And this is why he says, remain silent and don't answer. Do not answer him. So how we stand the how we withstand the siege in our lives? Because your obedience to the Lord is going to attract opposition. So whenever you take a stand for God, intimidation often comes. It will come through threats. It will come through fear. It will come through pressure. It will come through mockery. And of course, the worst one that we all cannot deal with, it comes through delay. because the Lord would take a very long time. Remember when the Jairus went to Jesus, excuse me, he went to Jesus and said, my daughter is unwell, could you please come and heal her? And guess what Jesus did? He took his old sweet time. And then the messengers came back and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is what? Dead. So now we've got to hear what Jesus said to Jairus. He says, do not fear, only believe. This tells me that only when God says it's over, is it over. Only when God says it is over, is it over. The enemy will use that, those fears, those threats, and delay to cause us to doubt who? God. That's the whole purpose, is to cause us to doubt God and to put our trust in other things. Then, there's nothing wrong with it, we now then begin to put our trust in the doctors, and they are important. Of course, they're knowledgeable about these things. But all we're saying here is that we need to learn that he says, do not fear, only believe. Only when God says it is over, is it what? Is it over? Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 1 said, I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says. The watchtower is a place of vision. This is why you see the guy on the watchtower there, checking to see, thank you, Claire, thank you, checking to see that is the enemy coming? You and I, it's a place of vision where we begin to see what is happening, what the Lord is saying to us. The guard post is a place of responsibility. Because what Habakkuk is teaching us, that when pressure comes our way, don't abandon your post. Stay in prayer. Stay in faith. Stay positioned until what? God speaks in your life. The goal is not to run when the battle intensifies. But as prayerful people, we need to remain at our what? At our post. Hezekiah stood spiritually and sought the Lord. Do not let intimidation silence your faith. Do not surrender because the enemy has gotten loud. And as the story goes, this of King Hezekiah in chapter number 19, he received a letter from one of these Assyrian kings. And when he received, and this is what I want us to note, is that whenever, you know, you start to get bad reports or there's issues in your life, this is the posture that you need to have. Hezekiah received the letter, it says in 2 Kings 19, verse 14. He received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid, you see, truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. So when he received this letter, Hezekiah did not panic. He was scared, but he spread it before the Lord. He literally laid the threat before God. He did not deny it. He did not minimize it. He did not collapse under it. He prayed. This is why when the father of the son that we mentioned, he then said, I think the Lord said, do you believe I can do it? And the Lord said, I believe, but guess what? Help my what? Help my unbelief. Sometimes we have to get a bit truthful with the Lord and say, God, I'm scared. but I trust you that you are able. Your word says that you have set people free before. You have a track record. So you begin to remind God of the things that he has done. You have a track record of victory. You have a track record of defeating things. So the prayer then is not pretending. It's presenting the things straight before the Lord. So what we do is that we bring the diagnosis. We bring the rejection. We bring whatever the accusation, the fear before God. We bring the pressure and say, God, I'm dealing with this. I am scared. But Lord, you have helped me in the past. You are the mighty deliverer. And so why did his prayer work? Hezekiah began with who God is. He was establishing that there is an order here that you are God of Israel. You are enthroned. You are the maker of heaven and earth. So you are a big deal. So I want to acknowledge that straight off the bat that, hey, God, you can do great things. So what happens is that when we elevate God, the battles that we're facing become what? They become smaller. One of the things that God is calling each and every one of us during this season is to stand in the gap. In Ezekiel 22:30, it says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. But he said, I found what? No one. And therefore, destruction came. Hezekiah became that man. When the city was under threat, he stood in the gap. When your family is under threat, are you going to stand in the gap? He prayed for the people. He prayed for the city. He prayed for the nation. And he prayed for the glory of God. So real prayer is not only personal. Real prayer is when we begin to intercede for others. When we stand up for our family. When we stand up for our church, for our children, interceding for them. Say, hey, Lord, our children, may they be victorious. May they be overcomers in this world. We stand for our city, our country. God is still looking for people who will stand in the gap. And one of the things is that we're going to have to linger long in the prayer closet. We're going to learn to pray to the Lord, to stand in the gap. When the invitation comes, we're going to be there listening in and interceding. And so, as we finish this morning, what will be said about your reign? Did you remove what needed removing? The things that dogged your family? Did you trust God? Did you remain faithful? Did you withstand the siege? Because all of us are going to face a siege in our lives. Did you bring it before the Lord, trusting him? You see, Hezekiah, like Hezekiah, you and I have been called to reign. And reigning people, what reigning people know how to do, they know how to engage the Lord through prayer. That means when things come against us, we will withstand the siege. And so this morning, I'll just invite us to stand. If you're carrying any burden, if you have a report, a fear, a battle, I'm going to ask today that you bring it before the Lord. If your family needs someone to stand in the gap, God is calling men and women alike to be those that stand in the gap. If you need strength, you say, oh, yes, I've tried, but nothing happened. You need strength to remain at your post. I want you to come for prayer. And of course, if you sense the Lord is calling you to a deeper life of intercession to pray for others, I want you to come for prayer. And lastly, if you know that God is stirring you in your heart to become a watchman on the wall, someone who seeks his face and contends in prayer, I want you to come for prayer. Remember that the Lord is not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for those people that say, hey, Lord, here I am. I will stand. And of course, in that part of that standing, there's going to be a price that will be paid. I can't lie to you. There will be a price that will be paid. Father, I just thank you this morning for all my brothers and sisters here. I thank you, Lord God, that you love them and you care for them. Lord, Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, that when you wake them up, Lord God, during the nighttime, when you invite them, Lord God, may they, Lord God, may they be those that will pay the price. Lord, I pray, Father, that during this season, Lord, we would look to you. We would be like Hezekiah, Father, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David had done. And so, Father, I just pray for these ones. Let's just raise our hands this morning and begin to pray for all those that are here, that are saying, hey, God, Father, I pray for Mr. Edgar, Lord God. Bless him, Father. Lord God, as you are calling him deeper, Lord Jesus, may he stand with courage, Lord God. May he, his voice, Lord God, as he speaks, Father, oh, you will back up his voice. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Give him the courage that he needs. May he speak, Lord God, for you have given him authority over, Lord God, to heal the sick, Father, and to cast out demons in your name, and over all the power of the enemy, and surely nothing shall come upon him, shall befall him, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for my sister, Lord God, as she stands, Lord God, in the gap, as you, Lord God, are the one, Father, that are directing her. May she hear more clearly, Lord God, what you're saying. I thank you, Lord God, for availability, Lord God. The best ability is availability, that she is available to you. I pray that you are ushering her into a new season, Lord God, of hearing what you are saying, of hearing, Lord God, of the downloads of heaven, Father, in her life. Father, I thank you and I give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, I thank you that, Lord, through dreams, Lord God, that you would speak, Lord God. You would speak, Father, because you have called and you are placing upon her, Father, a prophetic gift, Lord God, a gift, Father, that hears and sees, Lord God. Father, give her courage to speak out the things that you are showing to her in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you that she's a seer, Lord God. You have given her a gift of sight, Lord God, to be able to see. May, Lord God, may he open up her channels, Lord God, that she would be able to hear more clearly and see. Father, I thank you. I thank you. May she be willing to pay the price, Lord God. May she be willing to pay the price for the calling. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Come on, keep praying, church. Keep praying. Father, I thank you for my brother, Lord God, that is standing in the gap for his family, Lord God. You, Lord God, said in your word that I look for a man. Now here is a man, Father, that is standing on behalf of his family. And Lord, I pray that as he takes on his priesthood, Father, that he would understand the consecration that is required to be made in his life, Lord God, that he can stand and minister before you and offer sacrifices. Lord, I pray for, just as he's praying, Lord God, for his son, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would stand in the gap for our families, Lord God, that our families would be saved. They would come to know you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Yes, Lord God. Restore him, Lord God. Oh, Father, you ransomed people for God, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for my brother. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the one that makes a way. May he be strong and courageous. May he be strong and very courageous. May he not be intimidated, for you have not given him a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and of a sound mind. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I give you praise and I give you glory for each and every one of us, Lord God, that we would take our place. We would take our place. Lord, we live in such a wonderful and beautiful country. One of the best in the world. May we not forget the privilege that we have. Yes, things might be tough in our lives, but overall, Lord God, we are privileged. Father, may we prosecute the assignment of the Lord Jesus Christ over our lives, each and every one of us. Lord God, that we would stand, that we are ambassadors, Lord God. We are ambassadors, Father. We have been given authority. May we move in the authority that you have given us in Jesus. It is your authority, Father. May we move with boldness, I pray. In this season, Lord God, may people answer the call. May they answer the call of intercession, of standing in the gap. May they cultivate, Lord God, a lifestyle of prayer and of reading your word, Lord God. Give us an urgency, Lord God, for those that don't know you. Father, I thank you that, Lord, in as much, Father, as it's a nice thing, I don't want to lie to your people, Father. There is a price that must be paid. May we be those that say yes to the price. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone says, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, you need extra prayer for, you know, please come to the front. You know what? Whilst people